Thank you for listening to the Resting Place Church podcast. Our dream is that your heart would find rest as we learn to practice the ways of Jesus faithfully. So we hope this message both blesses and encourages you.
Luke chapter 12. I'm going to be reading out of the Message version today. You notice how everybody gets excited when it's like a translation that's kind of like controversial? It's like everybody's kind of excited that I'm reading out of the Message. Luke 12, we're going to start in verse 15, go through 21, then we're going to skip down to verses 29 through 34. This is Jesus speaking to the people. He went on, "Take care, protect yourself against the least bit of greed." Listen to this. "Life is not defined by what you have, even when you have a lot." Life is not defined by what you have, even when you have a lot. What's he say? Take care, guard yourself against greed if you have a lot or if you have a little. You can have a little and be greedy. You can have a lot and be greedy, right? Greedy is not a economic status or whatever. That's not what that is. He says this. He tells a story. The farm of a certain rich man produced a terrific crop. He talked to himself, "What can I do? My barn isn't big enough for this harvest." Then he said, "Here's what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger ones. Then I'll gather in all my grain and goods and I'll say to myself, 'Self, you've done well. You got it made. You can now retire and take it easy and have the time of your life.' And just then, God showed up and said, 'Fool, tonight you die. And your barn full of goods, who gets it? Who gets it?' This is what happens when you fill your barn with self and not with God." This is what Jesus says later. He says, "What I'm trying to get you to do here is relax. I'm trying to get you to relax. Do not be so preoccupied with getting so you can," listen to this, "so you can respond to God's giving. Do not be so preoccupied with getting so that there can be a response to when God blesses you. That response is to give." This is what he says. "People who don't know God and the way that he works fuss over these things, but you know both God and how he works. Steep yourself in God reality, God initiative, God provisions, and you will find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Don't be afraid of missing out. Don't be afraid of missing out. When you give, don't be afraid of missing out. You're my dearest friends, and the Father wants to give you the very kingdom of God itself. Be generous." Look at your neighbor, say, "Be generous." "Give to the poor. Give yourselves a bank that can't go bankrupt, a bank in heaven far from bank robbers, safe from embezzlers, a bank you can bank on." It's obvious, isn't it? The place where your treasure is the place you will most want to be and end up being. Father, I thank you for your word today. Lord, I pray that you would prick our hearts in a way this morning. Speak to us something real. Do something in us. Develop in us the heart of generosity. In Jesus' name, amen. Jake, thank you, my man. Everybody give it up for Jake this morning. Man of God. I will say, we had the turkey bowl yesterday. Men together at the church got together and played a little football. We played it like across the street. I mean, almost directly across the street from my house, so I didn't have to drive very far. But there was a call into the police department in Oak Ridge and said there was some guy walking around with a cannon attached to his arm out there. And they couldn't figure out who it was. I was all-time quarterback, just saying. They also were looking for some people's hands because they forgot the O's at the house. So, anyways, fun time of year. I'm 27, but my jokes are like 70-year-old jokes. And it's like, that ain't the way it's supposed to be. I don't want it, okay? So if you're going to title this message, if you're going to title it, just title it this: Why Should I Be Generous? Why should I be generous? Over the next few weeks, I'm going to tell you a lot of things about generosity, but I want to start with why. Why should I be generous? If you're taking notes, number one, giving fights greed. Giving fights greed. Notice that this rich man with all of these barns and the money to build bigger ones, Jesus' response to him wasn't be poor, okay? Listen, let me say this. Poverty is not the goal, okay? Like, prosperity gospel is not the goal, okay? Like, please hear me when I say this. I do not preach a gospel that says when you give to God, he's going to give you a bunch of money back, right? That's not in there. You actually have to redefine what blessing actually is, and I'll talk about that in a minute. I will say that God will take care of your every need. I will say that you'll have more than enough so that you can take care of others, but I won't say that God's gonna bless you and give you, you know, mansions and all of this weird stuff that people wanna say that God's gonna give you because you give. That's like, yeah, that's like manipulation, right? Like, I'm going to give God this. You ever meet those preachers that are like, God's going to return to you 100-fold? You ever meet those guys? It's like, well, why ain't you giving that? Because according to that, like, all you got to do is give like $100 and then like, hey, like, that's a million. So it's 100-fold. And then you give that million, it's like, it's 100 million. It's like, you ever meet those preachers that actually practice that? They don't. They just want you to give them a bunch of money. But giving, the purpose, the first and primary purpose of Jesus, and when he talked about money in the Gospels, was that he wanted the people's heart that he was talking to, and he was wanting to fight greed in their heart. That's what he was wanting to do. He didn't say, if you were broke, you wouldn't be greedy. He didn't say that. He didn't say, if you were rich, you will be greedy. Can I tell you something? The wealthiest people that I know personally, that I have a close relationship with, I swear before everything that you want me to swear before, they are the most generous people I know. The wealthiest people that I know are the most generous people that I know. The greediest people that I know are the most stingy people. They are. They can't let money go. It has their heart. And I'm not talking about people who don't know where their next meal are going to come from, right? I'm talking about people who are like, I care for the poor, but not more than my Starbucks and not more than my Target trips. And I care for the poor, but I ain't going to show up to serve at Thanksgiving give back. It's like, you've got plenty of time to sign up. Katie's like, amen, back there in the back. Katie just gave more in the offering because of that. Glory to God. Listen, the answer to wealth is not poverty. It's generosity. The answer to having a lot is not to have less. It's to give more. Right? Listen, I'm going to say it like this. Money is either a tool in the hand of the generous or a god in the heart of the greedy. It's either a tool in the hand of the generous or a god in the heart of the greedy. This is what 1 Timothy 6 says, "Teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money." We can just stop there. You taking a look at the economy lately? Like, don't trust in your money, right? It's not a good thing. Again, I'm going to say what I said last week. There's no reason that a bag of shredded cheese should be $5. It's absurd. Yes. "Teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment." For our enjoyment. "Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. By doing this, they will have stored up their treasure as a good foundation for their future, so that they may experience true life." Paul is telling Timothy here, tell the people in your church, they need to learn how to be generous, and they need to know that money is for your enjoyment. You can enjoy money. You can enjoy money. Money is not good or bad. Money is not good or evil. The love of money is evil. When you love money, that's evil. In fact, the verse actually says this, that the love of money is the roots of all types of evil, is the root of all types of evil. Money is a tool. It is a tool to be used. You are not a tool. We use money as a tool. Money does not use us like a tool. Right? When Jesus would talk about money, he would call it mammon. He would call it mammon because mammon was the Syrian god of riches. Was the Syrian god of riches. And he actually goes on to say this. He said, he would say in Matthew 6, 24, he says, "You can't love God and mammon. You can't serve Jesus and serve mammon. You can't love the way of the kingdom of God and the way that we talk about money and love the God of riches." So when you give, especially in the world that we live in, you are taking your money out of the hand of mammon, the God of riches, and you're putting it in the hand of God. Let me ask you this. Who will you let touch your money? Whoever touches your money the most is who your God is. It's who your God is. When you get paid, let me just make it real practical for you. When you get paid, if there's not something in your heart that goes, "I gotta give," if there's not something in you that leaps that says, "This money is not mine, it came from God, and the best thing that I can do with it right now is give it away." If there's not something in you that does that, here's your sign. Mammon may have grip on your money. It may have a hold of your heart. And you know, there's two types of people. And let me just state this. If you never come back to this church, or if you're watching online and you never come to this church again because I'm preaching about money, I am begging you to practice this somewhere. Practice it somewhere. If you don't want to give a dime to our church, don't. But I am pleading with you to be a generous person. And there's two types of people when you preach about money. Those who are at ease and those who are not. Let me just give it to you like this. Those who give and those who don't. The only people that I know that I have ever met who have said, "I am offended when the pastor talks about money," are those who don't give. It's a funny story. One time I had someone come up to me at this church, and they were complaining, first of all, they didn't know how much money we gave away. This was like when I first took over, so in some rougher days around here. And they're like, what do we do with all your money? Or what do we do with all the church's money? And I was like, I don't think I'm supposed to tell you that. And then they were like, well, we want to know. And just like before I could say anything, I was like, well, what do you want to do? And they said some things. I was like, okay, well, then write us a check and we'll do it. And they were like, well, I was like, yeah. And they were like, yeah. I was like, yeah. Like, I mean that. I am as serious as I have ever been. If you want us to give away $1.5 million in the name of this church, write us a check for it and we'll do it. Whatever you, like, I am dead serious. If you want us to build, if you have a building in mind that maybe I don't have in mind, and you say, man, I think the one I have in mind is way nicer than the one Cole has in mind, and you want to write a check for it, dude, we will build that sucker tomorrow. We will start. Timmy has an excavator. We will start clearing off property tomorrow. I'll be out there with clippers, like chainsaws and clippers, trying to excavate property. I'm not joking. So, you will know who your God is by who touches your money the most. You will know who it is. I do not love money. I don't hate money. Money's for my enjoyment. And let me say this. You will never enjoy money as you should until you learn how to give it away. I am convinced that the people who say this, money can't make you happy, you just haven't given enough away yet. You just have not given enough away yet. There is nothing that will bring you joy more than giving. There is nothing that makes you more like God than being generous. For God so loved the world that he... Yeah. And also doesn't say that God hated the world so he gave, right? He loved the world, so he gave. When we are thinking about money, it is so important that you know every time you give, I'm circling back to my point number one, you are fighting greed in your heart, and you are taking your money out of the hand of mammon, and you're putting it into the hand of God. Let me say this, your money has a spirit on it. And I mean that. I don't talk like that often. Like, I'm not the guy that there's like a demon behind every bush. But I do believe that our money can have a spirit on it. And the way that you know what type of spirit it has on it is when you think about money, do you want to hold on to it or do you want to give it away? If you want to hold on to it and accumulate stuff and measure yourself by the way that the world measures being rich, which is disgusting. If you want to measure yourself that way, if you want to say, if I can get, 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 if I can whatever to impress whoever, whatever, drive whatever, live whatever, right? If you measure yourself that way, and it's not wrong to live in a nice house. It's not wrong to drive a nice car. It is only wrong if that is the controlling and deciding factor of what you do with your money. If we kept all the money that we gave, we could live in a much nicer neighborhood, drive nicer cars. I'm serious. Live in a nicer neighborhood, drive nicer cars, but there are people in this city that don't have a house, right? So I think mine's just fine. There are people in this city that don't have cars. So my Honda Accord, baby, it's just fine. And I get better gas mileage than you. So I'm not as cool, but I do, when I fill up my tank, it's going to last a minute, you know? This is where we could have really used Tom's presence in the room. Tom drives a Prius. He ain't ashamed, baby. I truly believe this. This is what Paul says that Jesus says in Acts. It's more blessed than to give than to receive. I am more blessed when I give than when I get. And let me tell you something. You will never, and this is so important for you to hear, you will never pray your way out of being greedy. You've got to give your way out of it. You will not pray your way out of bitterness. You've got to forgive your way out of it. God sets up these principles that we read all in the Bible, and he says, hey, here's how you get free from this. And the way that you stay free, the way that you get free and stay free from greed is to give. It's to give. I'm going to talk about the modes of giving, so like gospel giving, tithing, offering, all of that in a few weeks. But it's always been, let me just say this. If you say you care about meeting the needs of the poor and the less fortunate, but you don't tithe or give, I do not believe you. I know that's strong, but I'm the kind of guy, it's like, put your money where your mouth is. Like, let's see it, dog, you know? And Katie's our outreach director, so she's really like, hey. Like, why give? It fights greed. Number two, it connects you to kingdom purpose. It connects you to kingdom purpose. I'm going to read this really quick. This is Paul writing in Philippians, and he says this. Even so, you have done well to share with me in my present difficulty. Even so, you have done well to share with me in my present difficulty. As you know, you Philippians were the only ones who gave me financial help when I first brought you the good news and when I traveled from Macedonia. No other church did this, even when I was in Thessalonica. You sent help more than once. And I don't say this because I want a gift from you, whether I want you to receive the reward for your kindness. So Paul is in a prison writing this, and he reminds the church of Philippi, hey, you remember, When I was in need, when I was a prisoner, when I needed something, you gave. You gave. The reason why giving connects you to kingdom purpose is that Paul can be talking to a group of people in Philippi and their money is going to work in Thessalonica. Right, so when you give, and when we get this building to wipe away our rent and our debt, you're going to be sitting wherever you're sitting on a Monday or Tuesday night, and that money is going to be feeding people who are hungry. When we get to the place where we can financially do these things, your money is going to be working in places where you can't be, where you can't go. Right? I know people who can't, they support missionaries because they simply cannot go. I know people who give to this church for us to give money away, and they cannot come here on Sunday mornings. They either have work or something else. They live far away, whatever. But when you give, it connects you to kingdom purpose. It is so important. Me and Anna say this all the time. I want to know what I'm giving into. I want to know what I'm giving into. That's why I'm being an open book with you. Because I want you to know, hey, every single dime that comes in on December the 3rd that's tagged, build it, it's going into an account, and it will grow in interest, right? That's why everything that you pledge will go straight to that account as soon as it hits our account, right? That's why you're going to get a booklet on November the 26th and a pledge card so that you will know, you will literally be able to pick out every single thing, like what are they going to be spending money on? Let's see, all right. If you want to buy it, you can. And it's also not a sheet for you to get and say, I can't believe they're spending money on that. That's not why we're giving it to you. If it is, buy something else that you like if you want to do that. Your money, when you give it, you connect it to the kingdom of God and it begins to work in places that you're not. So like we can be here on a Sunday and our money can be working at the Restoration House. We can be here on a Sunday and our money can be working in a prison somewhere. We can be here on Sunday and our money can be feeding the hungry somewhere else. We can be here on a Sunday or a Tuesday or a Wednesday and our money can be working somewhere else. In the future, our money can be paying for people's therapy that they needed. It can be working to knock out dumb medical debt. Like I just had surgery. You know how much of a scam the medical company is? Like I'm calling Monday and be like, hey, what are you going to settle for? I ain't paying that, dog. Like, forget it. It's too much. It does not cost that much. Like, I'm serious. I'm like, there ain't no way that it costs that much money for me to have shoulder surgery. There ain't no way. There just ain't no way. I've done the math, dog. I'll get on Glassdoor and look up your salary and the nurses and the receptionist, and I'll start putting some math together. And y'all done 8 of them, and y'all just had us lined up in a row. It's like, all right, we got to do this. All right, next person, here we go. Ain't no way. We've already done that here. We've already seen people who were in need and had medical debt and paid for it. Listen, there is not a thing on this that we have not already done. There's not a single thing, because I truly believe this. I truly believe this. When you have more, you will do with it what you already do right now. So your answer, I promise you, it's not more money. I promise you the answer to your problems as it pertains to being generous is not more money. Because generosity is not about an amount. It has nothing to do with an amount. I remember one time I was in Alabama preaching, and you caught me off guard with that, Wes. I was like, what? I was in Alabama preaching, and a guy walks in, and he was homeless. And the pastor that I was preaching for had just stopped and given this guy like a $20 bill. Or it was like 20 bucks, but it was like a few ones, whatever. Well, like in that church, you bring your offering, right? Like there ain't no bucket at the back. There ain't no text to give. There ain't none of that. You bring it. You better have check or cash. And I remember this guy, he had like, the pastor told me that he'd given him like $20. This dude is homeless, and he comes to church, and they bring an offering, and he brings money forward. This dude doesn't have a home. This dude doesn't know where his next meal is coming from. And the pastor asked him after service, he said, why did you do that? He says, because I know that God takes care of my every need. And I would never not give to him when I know that he has given me everything. This dude is homeless. And he's giving. Generosity does not have a number. It's a heart issue, right? And so, number one, giving fights greed. Giving connects you to kingdom purpose. And the last thing, generosity makes space for God's blessing in my life. It makes space. Jake, you can come on up. It makes space for God's blessing in my life. Listen, this is not that giving to get gospel. This is not the prosperity gospel. This is, if I am generous, God sees that I am generous. Do you know that you can earn trust with God? You can never earn God's love because God loves you right now more than you ever could imagine. And what you do doesn't make him love you any more or any less. But he does have different trust levels for you, right? This is what 2 Corinthians 9 says. God can pour on the blessing in astonishing ways so that you are not ready, so that you're ready for anything and everything. More than just ready to do what needs to be done, as one psalmist puts it, he throws caution to the winds, giving to the needy in reckless abandonment. His right living, right giving ways never run out or never wear out. This most generous God who gives seed to the farmer that becomes bread for your meals is more extravagant with you. He gives you something you can then give away, which grows into full-form lives, robust in God, wealthy in every way, so that you can be generous in every way, producing us and with us great praise to God. This is what Genesis 12 says. It says, I will make you a great nation. This is God to Abraham. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. When the Bible talks about blessing, it is never, ever, ever connected to something that you receive. It's always something that you've given. When God talks about blessing, the intention every time inside of context is so that you give it away. He says this. This one version says it like this. He gives seed to the sower, bread to the hungry. He supplies everything that you could ever need so that you could be generous. So that you could be generous. God, when you make room for God in your life by giving something away, he always fills it. God never leaves you empty. God never leaves you without. There is, I truly believe this. Do you know how wealthy our country is? There is more than enough. There is more than enough so that people are not going hungry. More than enough. More than enough so that people are not going hungry. And when we say we want God to bless us, what we mean is our hearts are open, our hands are open. You can give us whatever you want to give us, and then you can tell us whatever to give away. Whatever it is, we'll give it. When you make room for God's blessing in your life, when you do that, you can expect to receive more than enough. You can expect to have more than enough. Anybody ever been looking at the bills and they're just like, the way my bank account's set up, they ain't getting paid. And then somehow you find extra money. Somehow extra money just shows up. This happens often in my house, not because I think God's pouring out some extra blessing on me, but because Anna is such a saver, she'll have like $400 in her Cash App or something, and it's like, yeah, I've been saving this since last November. And I'm like, great. Like, I'm the spender in my family. Anna's the saver, right? I am the spender. You bless me with $400, I'm giving, then I'm gonna get me a little something, you know? You know? I'm going to the store. Yeah. I'll be back. And I'll like walk in with the 12th Stanley Cup and the 18th Yeti that we have at the house. I only have one Stanley Cup, by the way. But, you know, those expensive things. When you give, why give? Why? It fights greed. It connects you to kingdom purpose. And it makes room for God's blessing in your life. It makes space. And He is faithful to be generous to you, to supply every need that you have, and to give you more than enough. Me and Timmy, we were talking about it this week. It's just like, you know, theologically, I have a lot of thoughts about money. But man, I've heard too many stories, and I know too many of your stories to know that if we give, God will take care of us. Not only will He take care of us, He will give us more than we can imagine. I've heard stories this week, of people getting raises up 25% this week. And you know what they told me? Honest to God, this is the honest to God truth. We felt the Lord tell us a number, and we were really uncomfortable with that number. And then I got a 25% raise. He gives seed to the sower. He gives bread to the hungry. He makes a way when you don't think there's a way. And when He makes a way, don't forget that He made a way. Don't forget that. Don't ever forget that you are where you are today because of God. And no matter how bad it is, it could be worse. It could be worse. Stand to your feet with me. This is how we think about this. When we believe that we are making space for God to bless us at this church with a new building, all of those things that are going to come with it. When we say that, what we believe is that blessing is not getting everything that we want. It's being able to give to everything that we want to give to. That's what blessing is. He told Abraham, I'm going to make your name great. I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to prosper you so that you could be a blessing to the whole world. Abraham was rich and also very, very, very generous. Very generous. There are stories all throughout the scripture about generosity, from the richest of the rich to the poorest of the poor. And the purpose in that being in that book is saying generosity is not about how much. So why give? Because you can. You can give a dollar. You can give $3. Some of you can give more than that. You get what I'm saying. That's what this is about. So over the next couple weeks, I'm going to be diving into I believe generosity really stands, I believe it's like a table, and it has four things that it's comprised of. Number one, the heart. Kind of touched on a little bit of that today. Number two, you actually have to have money to give. Like, you can have the heart to give all day, but if there ain't none there, I mean, like, you just got a good heart, you know? And number three, I believe that it takes vision, right? And then number four, I think it actually takes the practice of giving, the practice of giving. And so this morning, I'm going to pray over us. I'm going to pray over our finances, and then we're going to be dismissed. And I really want you to be praying, what can you give in that one-time offering on December 3rd? And then what can you pledge to give over the course of 3 years so that we can help all of these people, right? I promise you this. I'm not getting a raise. The staff's not getting a raise. I'm not getting a bonus. Every dime of this, every single dime of this will go to purchase things that we need for a new facility. And listen, I'm shooting you straight. If something goes out here and we can take something to a new facility with us and we're like, hey, we want this for the building anyway, we'll buy it. But it's going. Like, we ain't getting a new one once we go over there, you know? You can ask my staff about budgets. It's like, hey, you better keep it lean and mean, because denied when it comes across. There's like three things at the bottom of the little email thing. It's like, awesome, this looks good, no, try again, or something else. And I'm just like, I'm always hovering between like, no, try again, and nice, this looks good. But I want you to consider what God would have you give and what God would have you pledge, okay? And I want you to be taking time over the next few weeks to think about that with your spouse, with your family as a whole. We're making Beckham pledge. Like, Beckham, buddy, you're pledging. Sorry. That's a joke. It's a joke. You're going to bring a tenth of them toys every week, and we'll be out. We'll be out. They're going to go to the kids department over there. They're going to build us a new kids ministry. Bring a tenth. If we did that, like, could you imagine? Everybody's parents are like, yes, amen. It's like, hey, that might be an idea. Hey, Brandon, don't worry about toys in the budget. Got that covered. We're going to teach the kids to tithe. Yeah. Anyways, I'm going to pray now. Then we're going to go.